Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through God our Father and our Lord and our dear Savior, whose blood was perfect, shed for us. Our text this morning is, I think, very appropriate. That's why I asked to have these three texts for today, since we all missed church last week. Oh, I can't believe that. Let not many of you become teachers, for we will incur a stricter judgment. We, meaning the apostles, James, who writes this, the brother of our Lord, is the apostle and the leader of the Jewish Christian church. Even he himself is aware that there is a stricter judgment. So why? When you read James chapter 3, your first inclination is that this is about all of us in our tongue. And it is, but first and foremost, this is written to pastors and apostles. Let not many of you become teachers, for you will incur a stricter judgment. Now, I don't know what that stricter judgment is, and I haven't read anyone who says that they do know exactly, but we all agree that this is serious stuff. Why is it serious? Because this is the teaching of Jesus Christ, the one who has given us his life for a ransom, to pay for all of our sins. It is his doctrine. And as a calling congregation, who will be calling a pastor, you're holding that pastor his feet to the fire in regard to two most important obligations and responsibilities: to preach and to teach. Yes, though on the one hand, let not many of you become teachers. However, you're a called pastor. You must teach. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says a pastor must be able to teach. In chapter 3, verse 6, teach good doctrine, because there's such a thing as bad doctrine, and I'll get to that in a moment. 1 Timothy 3:11, command and teach these things. In verse 6, he talks about being trained. The pastor goes to seminary and is trained. Study to show thyself approved. It is a responsibility to pass for every pastor to ensure that the congregation that he is called to, that he be responsible in making sure that the purity of Christ's teaching is absolutely adhered to. Why? Why is that so important? I was reading the book of Hebrews, kind of read the whole thing while I was on the plane, and a verse came, and I said, I've got to use this verse. This ties it all together. Hebrews 10, verse 35. You see, the writer, Apollos, is writing to some Jewish Christians who are thinking about becoming apostate, basically dumping Jesus, not believing that Christ is the Messiah, and going back to their incorrect doctrine of the Old Testament, seeing themselves as those who can, by works righteousness, earn God's favor and peace. And every chapter, he says, Jesus is greater than Aaron. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the priests. He's greater. And in chapter 10, verse 35, he says, don't throw away your confidence. Dear friends, our confidence is in only Jesus Christ. It is only in what Christ has done. Our confidence is Jesus Christ. I put in the psalm, I asked the secretary to put Psalm 103 in cardstock, and I ask you to memorize that psalm, because it so clearly tells us who our God, what he is like. And I love the verse. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for one reason, to save sinners, so that he alone, because he alone, only he, the perfect God of the universe, could earn God's favor, and that he did. So, as a pastor, it is my prayer, it should be the prayer of every pastor, that we hold before you, as St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, that the first two verses, he talks about preaching the gospel, preaching Christ. And he says, it is of first importance. And what do you think he answers that with? What is of first importance? More than anything else, what every preacher should have in their heart and mind before they get up here to preach, and as they teach every week, as they make sure that they are behind the teachers who teach Bible class, as they lead, as they train in good doctrine all those who are gifted and willing to teach, of first importance is that Jesus Christ died to forgive us of all of our sins. Praise God. This is so important, because we don't want you to throw away your confidence. We want you always to look to Christ and him alone for the assurance of your salvation and forgiveness. So 3 weeks ago, as I was driving, and I like to listen to other guys and what they preach. Well, kind of, I don't really like to listen to them, because I really think a lot of them are off target. They're off base. And in this case, again, here was an example of somebody very well known. I mean, I'm telling you, there are 30,000 people. I'm actually just throwing that. I don't know that for sure, but there are a lot of people in America who listen to Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley was going to preach that morning. The same sermon that he preached back in November that I listened to as I was driving home again. I literally got in my driveway and I did not go in the house. I wanted to finish this. It was bad. I kid you not. It's theology that, well, it's very much akin to our sinful nature. You know, Jesus also gave a warning, because it's the God of the universe. It's his teaching. And that's why we say over and over again, we preach Christ, only Christ and him crucified. It is of first importance. But most people, most preachers on a Sunday morning, and I'll get back to Charles here in a second, most of them never tell their members what's most important, that God loves sinners, That is the only thing that will bring you life. Those words, that message of what God has done for us in Christ is the only thing that gives life. If I preach the law, don't do this and do this and do all those should, woulda, coulda, it's not going to give you any power or strength, only the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it is imperative that pastors, so that you do not throw away your confidence, that we preach and teach. Teaching is so important because we are all tempted to be like Charles Stanley and to preach or think like this. And he said to everyone that day, as he says very often, he talks about having to accept Jesus Christ. It's always about something you should do. And in this case, he said for many years, I submitted myself. Can you submit? Can you honestly submit yourself to God, your Father? You cannot. He has submitted himself for you. Why do we think that we can submit or make a decision or commit? You hear those words all the time on Sunday morning. Why do you never hear a Lutheran pastor say that? Because we say, we get here on Sunday morning and the first thing we do is you hear, if anyone says he does not sin, he what? He deceives himself. Anyone who thinks that he has submitted himself to God is a liar. That's why we don't sing songs in this church, in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. At least I pray we don't. We don't sing songs about, oh, how I love Jesus. I love Jesus so much. I don't love Jesus. That's not the message of Scripture. I mean, I do and you do. By the grace of God, it's always by the grace of God. The message is not what we do for God. That's the law. The message that gives you life is what God has done for you. And so in the Old Testament, we have the servant who perfectly listens to the word of God Almighty, the perfect, and he does this will perfectly. He begins by giving his back. I'm sure the soldiers thought, you get over here right now. So sick and tired of you making it sound like you're God. You get on that rock and you bend over. I'm going to show you who's boss. But that's not what Scripture says. Oh, yes, it does say that his back was tortured, but he gave his back for us. Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. He gave his cheeks. I mean, what a personal thing. You don't like it when people invade your space. Whoa, he's got bad breath. Pastor, what did you eat? He gave them. He said, come near to me so that I may taste and actually suffer in your stead and take upon myself the wrath that each one of us deserve. And they pulled out his beard and they spit on him in disgrace. Complete and utter. This is the Son of God. This is God Almighty in the flesh, perfectly submitting himself. Perfectly. This is why we don't use that kind of language. You cannot encourage or give strength with the law. We love the law because we have been forgiven, but the law kills. Only the gospel gives life. This is why it is so important for pastors not only to preach, but to make sure that all the teaching done at Mount Olive Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, because every teacher, every pastor is tempted to go back and to take these commandments, Jesus said, because it wasn't just the writer of Hebrews or James. He says, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. It is a temptation for every pastor, just like it was for the Pharisees, to relax the commandments. But think about the largest Lutheran church in America. How many Sundays they relax the commandment and actually advocate for murder and says it's okay, not to mention many other things. Why do we do that? Why are we tempted to relax the commandments? Because we don't want to see ourselves as sinners. I don't really. My flesh says, you don't need a savior. You can do it yourself. You have righteousness in and of yourself. But we know full well it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost of all. I beg you to pray for your future pastor, all pastors, that they will know that first and foremost, because when they do, they are hungry to hear the gospel themselves, and then they are hungry to make sure that you don't throw away your only hope and confidence in Christ, so that they will do anything to stand up for the truth and never relax, not one word. Jesus said the last, I actually asked this question and forgot to answer it in the first service. What did Jesus say? The last two things he said before he ascended on high, teach them everything, because all of his teachings lead us to the cross and what he has done for us. That is why I ask you to pray for your pastor, that he will preach and teach your only confidence, Jesus Christ, who has died and risen again, who has forgiven us of all of our sins. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.